glorious to the assembled devotees. Oh, glorious to the assembled devotees. Oh, glorious to the assembled devotees. Oh, glorious to Sri Guru and Gauranga. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prastaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swamini Tinamane Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pacharane Nirvisesa Sinyavadi Paskachade Sitarane Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Ta Padakamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sagana Raghunatham Vitam Sam Sajivam Sadvaitam Sadvadutam Parijana Saita Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padam Sagana Lalita Sri Vishakam Vitamscha Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. December 25th, 2012, in Chennai, India. Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 2. Hiranyakashipu, King of the Demons, Text 11. Vishnur Dvija Kriya Mulo. Yagno Dharma Maya Puman. I don't have a mic this morning. So it would really help if everybody moved forward, like about maybe 1 or 2 meters. Otherwise, I'm going to lose my voice. Yeah, that's nice. That's chanting outside. That's nice. It's no problem. Devarshi Pitri Bhutanam. Dharmasya Pracha Parayanam. Please chant.
Vishnur Dvija Kriya Mula. Yajna Dharma Maya Puman. Devashi Vitri Bhutana. Dharma Shyacha Parayana.
Devarshi Pitri Bhutana Dharmasya Chakrayanam. Vishnu.
Vishnu.
Lord Vishnu, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Can you all hear me? Dvija. Of the Brahmanas and Kshatriyas. Kriya Mulaha, whose root is the performance of yajna and the ritualistic ceremonies mentioned in the Vedas. Yajnaha, personified yajna. Lord Vishnu, who is known as the Yajna Purusha. Dharma Maya, full of religious principles. Puman, the Supreme Person. Devarishi, of the demigods and great rishis like Vyasadeva and Narada. Pitra, of the forefathers. Bhutanam, and of all other living entities. Dharmasya, of the religious principles. Cha, also. Parayanam, the shelter. So this again is Hiranyakashipu speaking to his friends about how he wants to destroy Vishnu. So translation and purport. The basic principle of Brahminical culture is to satisfy Lord Vishnu. the personification of sacrificial and ritualistic ceremonies. Lord Vishnu is the personified reservoir of all religious principles, and he is the shelter of all the demigods, the great pitas, and the people in general. When the brahmanas are killed, no one will exist to encourage the kshatriyas to perform yajnas, and thus the demigods, not being appeased by yajna, will automatically die. So again, Hiranyakashipu's purpose is to destroy the demigods. Purport. If you could all move a little closer, because I have no mic, then I don't have to talk so loudly. Yes, at some day we'll have a mic. Purport. Since Vishnu is the central point of Brahminical culture, Hiranyakashipu's plan was to kill Vishnu. For if Vishnu were killed, naturally the Brahminical culture would also be lost. With Brahminical culture loss, yajna would no longer be performed. And for want of yajna, the regular distribution of rainfall would cease. Yajnad bhavanti parjanya. Thus, there would be disturbances all over the world, and naturally, the demigods would be defeated. So let's look at Hiranyakashipu's logic, if you can remember this. The first thing he wanted to do was to kill Vishnu. And then if Vishnu's killed, what happens next? Do you remember his logic? From Vishnu being killed, the Brahminical culture is lost. That's the next step. Then if Brahminical culture is lost, what stops happening? Sacrifices. Ah, look at that. With Brahminical culture lost, then we no longer have sacrifices. So you have Vishnu killed. Can he kill Vishnu?
No.
But this is his idea. Vishnu killed, Brahminical culture destroyed, then no more yajna. Then if there's no more yajna, what happens? There's something between that. Something between that. No more rainfall. No more rainfall. And then the final thing is what he wants is demigods are finished. You have to remember Hiranyakashipu is ruling the universe, but he got a benediction from Lord Brahma that no one could defeat him. But still he's worried that he's going to get defeated. So it's like that. It's like that in this world. We think, if I get this, I'll be happy. But then when we get it, we're always worried that we're going to lose it. Or if I get money, then I'll be happy. And we're always worried, what's happening with my money? What's happening with my money? You get a nice husband, a nice wife, and you're always worried, will they get sick? Will they get an accident? Will something happen? You get a nice house, and then you're always worried, what will happen? The plumbing will not be good, electrical problem, you know, something, right? You have a nice job, and then you think, maybe I'll get fired, maybe there'll be a problem with the economy. So we think, if I get this, get this, get this, get this, get this, then I'll be able to be peaceful. It doesn't work like that, because whatever you get, you're always in anxiety to go. So Hiranyakashipu did tapasya for thousands, millions of years, earth years, and he became basically the lord of the universe, only under Brahma, Vishnu, and Shiva. But they were the only ones above him. He defeated all the demigods. But he's worried, maybe they'll get to power. Oh, he had a benediction that he could not be defeated. He wasn't peaceful. And he's thinking, all right, now I've got to kill these demigods. How am I going to kill the demigods, he's thinking. So he's trying to do it indirectly. I'll kill Vishnu. If I kill Vishnu, there won't be any Brahmins. There won't be any Brahmins. There won't be any yajna. There won't be any yajna. There won't be any rain. There won't be any and the demigods will be finished. Okay, going on with the purport. From this verse, we get a clear indication of how human society is disturbed when the Vedic Aryan civilization is killed and the Vedic ritualistic ceremonies performed by the brahmanas are stopped. Kaloa Shudra Sambhava. Because the population of the modern world consists mostly of Shudras, the Brahminical culture is now lost. And it is extremely difficult to reestablish in a proper way. Therefore, Lord Chaitanya has recommended the chanting of the holy name of the Lord is the main point I'm going to be speaking about. Prabhupada's going to reiterate this at the end of the purport. He's saying, how are we going to revive ecumenical culture by... What did he say? Chanting. Yes. Okay, let's read this again. Therefore, Lord Chaitanya has recommended the chanting of the holy name of the Lord, which will revive Brahminical culture very easily. So how are we going to revive Brahminical culture? By chanting. Hare Nama, Hare Nama, Hare Nama, Eva Kevalam Kalo, Nasteva, 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 Gatya Namita. So in this Kali Yuga, there's no other way, no other way. Because of the increment in demoniac population, people have lost Brahminical culture. Nor is there a Kshatriya government. So right now, we don't have the Brahminical culture in society, and our government is no longer made of Kshatriyas. Instead, the government is a democracy in which any Shudra can be voted into taking up the government reins and capture the power to rule. Because of the poisonous effects of Kali Yuga, the Shastra, Bhagavatam 12.2.13, says, Dasyu Prayeshu Rajasu. The government will adopt the policies of Dasyus, or plunderers. Or the government is supposed to protect us from thieves, but instead the government becomes thieves. Going on? Thus, there will be no instructions from the Brahmanas. And even if there are Brahminical instructions, there will be no Kshatriya rulers who can follow them. Aside from Satyayuga, even formally, in the days when demons were flourishing, Hiranyakashipu planned to destroy the Brahminical culture of the Kshatriya government and thus create chaos all over the world. So the demons like chaos. Saintly persons, they like music or silence. And the demons like noise. Going on with the purport. Although in Satyayuga this plan was very difficult to execute, in Kali Yuga, which is full of Shudras and demons, the Brahminical culture is lost and can be revived only by the chanting of the Maha Mantra. This is the second time Prabhupada is making this point. The way to revive Brahminical culture is by... Going on. Therefore, the Krishna consciousness movement, or the Hare Krishna movement, has been inaugurated to revive Brahminical culture very easily, so that people may become happy and peaceful in this life and prepare for elevation in the next. In this regard, Srila Madhvacharya quotes this verse from the Brahmana Purana. Vipra yagnadi mulam tu harir it yasuram matam harir eva sarvasya mulam samyam matol nipa. Twice the word mula. Here we have again the word mula. Vishnu dvija kriya mula. Vishnu is the root of all the Brahmins. Translation of that verse is, O king, the demons think that Hari, Lord Vishnu, exists because of the Brahmins and Yajna. But factually, Hari is the cause of everything, including the Brahmins and the Yajna. This is such an important point. People think that sacrifice and Brahmins create Lord Vishnu, but Vishnu creates the Brahmins and the sacrifice. So Prabhupada going on comments on this. Therefore, through the popularizing of Hari Kirtan or the Sankirtan movement, the Brahminical culture and Kshatriya government will automatically come back and people will be extremely happy. This, of course, materially and spiritually. Vishnu dvija kriya mulo yagno dharma dharma maya puman devarshir pitra bhutanam dharmasya cha parayanam. The basic principle of Brahminical culture is to satisfy Lord Vishnu, the personification of sacrificial and ritualistic ceremonies. Lord Vishnu is the personified reservoir of all religious principles, and he is the shelter of all the demigods, the great pitas, and the people in general. When the brahmanas are killed, no one will exist to encourage the kshatriyas to perform yajnas, and thus the demigods, not being appeased by yajna, will automatically die. People often think that in order to attain perfection, you first have to have materialistic piety. First, you have to have material piety, varnashram, peaceful society, and then you can find God. Somebody, an ordinary person, they may say, oh, right now I'm busy with my studies, or I'm busy with my families. When that's finished, then I will find God in my extra time. People think like this with money also. First, I will spend the money for my rent, my mortgage, my food, taxes, and then if there's something left, then I will give it to God. But it's the opposite. Now, it is true that in the yoga ladder, first you do start with material piety. So if one is going to perfection by the yoga ladder, first you have to be a pious person. And you have to perfectly follow your material prescribed duties in the varnashram system. Then, instead of doing varnashram for material happiness, for heaven, then you go, that which is karma kanda, then you take a step up the ladder to karma yoga. And you're doing your material duties instead of for heaven, you're doing for salvation, for purification, for merging with the Brahman. Then you become peaceful, because you've given up the results by karma palatyaga, by giving up the results of your activities, the results being going to heaven. You attain peace, Krishna says in the 12th chapter of Bhagavad Gita. With this peace, you can sit down and study the Shastra, like the Upanishads, and you can meditate philosophically on how the world is meaningless. This is called Gyan Yoga. After becoming expert in Gyan Yoga, your peace comes to such an extent that you can sit and meditate. That's called Dhyan Yoga, or Astanga Yoga, or Raj Yoga. In that meditation, you see the Lord in the heart, and you can merge with the Brahman. That is the yoga ladder. So because there is this yoga ladder, first karmakanda, which is varnashram for swarga, then karma yoga, which is varnashram for Brahman, then jnana yoga, which is studying the shastras for Brahman, then dhyan yoga, meditation, to finally merge with the Brahman or go to the Paramatma. People may think that first varnashram is required. But Krishna does not recommend this yoga ladder process. Although it will work, he says, Klesha dikatrashtashtesham avyakta shaktatejasam avyakta hi gatir dukam dehavadbir avapyate. This is a very difficult process. Klesha, it's full of difficulty. It will take many lives. Bahunam janmanam mante yanamam prapatite vasudevam sarvamiti samahatma sadurlabaha. Going up this path, karmakanda, karma yoga, gyan yoga, dhyan yoga, many, many lives with much difficulty. And at the present age of Kali, it's not even possible to go up the yoga ladder. Because how are you even going to live a pious life in the age of Kali? Can any of us say our life is 100% pious? Can anyone say that? Practically speaking, it's impossible. Even if you are a strict vegetarian, the tires on the car are made from animal products. You know, what are you going to do? Everything is polluted. Everything we're offering practically, the air is polluted, the water, the ground. How are you going to perform? How are you going to get the people to advise you how to perform your duty perfectly? And anyway, that's not the main path that Krishna is recommending. The main path Krishna is recommending is bhakti. Bhaktimam abhijananti yavanyas chasmi tatvada tatomam tatvado yatva vishate tadanantaram. If we really want full perfection, we take the path of bhakti. Our whole material contamination, it's a dvesha, as Krishna says in the 7th chapter. This desire and hatred, this duality of the world, all of our suffering is caused because bahir mukhe, we have turned our face away from Krishna. So the real solution is to look again at Krishna. This yoga ladder is a mechanical system. It's not stable, it's not sure. And my dear friends, Rupa Goswami nicely explains in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu that Varnashram is not a prerequisite for bhakti. We know of sinful people who took directly to bhakti. Can you think of some name? What is some sinful person that took directly to bhakti?
Ajamil.
Who else? Yes? Ajamil, yes, someone else.
Bilba Mangala.
Huh?
Bilba
Mangala. Bilba Mangala Thakur, someone else.
Arunagiri.
Arunagiri. Valmiki. We can name so many. Jagai Madai. Haridas Thakur was preaching to this prostitute. Immediately she took to bhakti. They didn't first do Varnashram. Valmiki didn't first do Varnashram. I immediately went to bhakti. To do the yoga ladder, you must first do varnashram. For bhakti, it's not necessary. So Rupa Goswami says that material piety, varnashram, detachment, Brahman realization, that is not necessary to begin bhakti. You can just begin bhakti. And this Varnashram, Rupa Goswami also says, is not an anga of bhakti. He gives the 64 angas of bhakti, and then he says, but not Varnashram, not Vairagya, not Jnana. These are not angas of bhakti. In fact, if one thinks that material piety and detachment are necessary for bhakti or are angas of bhakti, then one is no longer within the realm of pure bhakti. As Rupa Goswami says, anya bilashita shunyam jnana karma anavritam anukulenanu krishna shilanam bhaktir uttamam. Bhaktir uttamam, or pure bhakti, has to be jnana karma anavritam. It cannot be covered by karma or jnana. Bhakti covered by karma means I have to do my material activities perfectly or I will not attain bhakti. I cannot be purified just by bhakti. I have to be purified also by varnashram. Jnana covered bhakti means, oh, before I can think of Krishna, I have to be liberated by some other process. First, I have to take some other process and realize I'm not this body, and then I can chant Hare Krishna and think of Krishna. Sometimes you see devotees say, oh, you cannot, don't think about Krishna when you're chanting until you are liberated. This is jnana-covered bhakti. Or if someone says, oh, you cannot chant Hare Krishna, you cannot think of Krishna because you're not perfectly situated in your varna or ashram. That's karma-covered bhakti. So pure bhakti says you don't need perfect jnana or karma to achieve it, nor is the process of jnana or karma part of bhakti. So Hiranyakashipu is making this mistake. He's thinking that Vishnu is dependent on varnashram, on karma. No, it's the other way. Material piety comes from bhakti. Somebody may be a meat eater, and once they come to bhakti, they become a vegetarian from bhakti. We don't say, first you have to be a vegetarian and then you can practice. No, you start practicing bhakti, you'll become a vegetarian. We don't say, first you have to be a good person, then you can practice bhakti. No, by practicing bhakti, you'll become a good person. you have to get knowledge, then you can practice bhakti. No, you practice bhakti, that will give you knowledge. Bhakti will give you realization you're not this body. Bhakti will give you detachment from the material world. Bhakti will give you, automatically you'll be a pious person. Automatically you'll do your material duties nicely. So why is this? If we look in the Bhagavad Gita, in chapter 3, which is very much about yajna, if you really want to understand yajna, chapters 3, 4, and 5 of the Bhagavad Gita are very important. And here Krishna is explaining. He says, Yas twatma ratir eva syad, atma tripchasta manava, atman yeva chatantustas, tasya karman navijite. But for one who takes pleasure in the self, whose human life is one of self-realization, and who is satisfied in the self only, fully satiated, for him there is no duty. And we'll just read the English for the next. A self-realized man has no purpose to fulfill in the discharge of his prescribed duties, nor is he any reason not to perform such work, nor is he any need to depend on any other living being. Therefore, without being attached to the fruits of activities, one should act as a matter of duty, for by working without attachment, one attains the supreme. So when one starts realizing Krishna within and taking pleasure in Krishna, one no longer needs to do any other duty for purification. You no longer need to maintain your family in order to become purified. You no longer need to take care of your children in order to become purified. You're already purified. So you could say, oh, well, then you'll stop those things. Krishna says, yes, you can. But you have no reason to stop either. You have no material reason to do, and you have no material reason to stop doing. So why will you decide to do or not to do? Prabhupada explains in the purport to text 17. Your consciousness becomes clear and your duty becomes self-illuminated by the grace of the Lord. So by performing bhakti, jnana dipena bhashvata, Krishna lights the heart. And then one understands, oh, this is the duty I do for Krishna. Maybe Krishna will say, oh, give up all your material duties, take sannyas. Maybe Krishna will say, appear to do your duties like a worldly person, but do them for me. And that duty becomes self-illuminated in the heart. Now, naturally, we have a particular kind of body, a particular kind of mind. And generally speaking, like with Arjuna, when one becomes Krishna conscious, when one becomes enlightened by bhakti yoga, one will see, oh, I have this particular body, I have this particular mind, it should be engaged for Krishna in this way. So what will happen when the chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra is done and people's hearts become cleansed? Then they will see, oh, I have the nature of Brahmana. And they will know how to do brahminical duties. Or one will see, I have the nature of kshatriya. They will know how to do kshatriya duties. Therefore, Srila Prabhupada says several times in this purport, right, the chanting of the holy name of the Lord will revive brahminical culture very easily. The brahminical culture is lost and can be revived only by the chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra. The brahminical culture and kshatriya government will automatically come back by Hare Kirtan of the Sankirtan movement. So we make a big mistake if we think that once we have taken to bhakti yoga, we need varnashram to purify us. And we make a big mistake if we think that varnashram is an anga of bhakti. Rather, if we perform bhakti, then our duties apparently in the world, whatever duties we perform, will become self-illuminated. Therefore, if we want to revive varnashram, which is good for the peace of the world, what we do is we engage everyone directly in bhakti. We go out on sankirtan. then how will it come automatically? Varnashram has to be revived by the Kshatriyas. The Brahmanas cannot directly revive Varnashram. Because Varna means occupation. So occupation must be done by the government. But the government can only do this under the direction of the Brahmanas. So if we want to have a peaceful society, we all want a peaceful society, right? Then what we must do is cleanse our hearts through bhakti. So that people who have Kshatriya nature and Brahmana nature will be cleansed and know how to serve the Lord in that capacity. Then particularly those with the Kshatriya nature, they can give direction to society in general. How people can be properly situated. They can make it happen. The Brahmanas can say this is the vision and the Kshatriyas can make it happen. Without that, there will not be Varnashram. That's not possible. It's not just, you know, a few families go here and go there and try to do a little something. That will not happen in this Kali Yuga. Kalona Steva Nasteva Nasteva Gatira. So we should have faith. We should have faith that by bhakti we will get everything. That we should have faith. That is pure bhakti. Anything else is not pure bhakti. And anything that is not pure bhakti will take a long time to give us what we want. Whereas pure bhakti will give us what we want very, very quickly. On an individual level, our business is to cleanse our heart. And as a society level, our business is to cleanse the heart of the society. So a very simple story. I tell this story quite a lot. But last year, my grandson and I were visiting Tirupati. And it was around this time, I think it was January. And we were traveling up the mountain. It was very foggy. So it was hard to see. But the morning was going on, and I noticed when we got out of the car to see some place, the fog was starting to lift. But still inside the car, it was very hard to see. And I thought, oh, the problem is not outside the car. The problem is inside the car. So we had a translator, and I told the driver, turn on the fan to clear the windshield. But he did not want to turn it on. I think he thought it would cost him money to run it. I said, no, no, it doesn't cost any money. It's using the heat from the engine. It's not like the AC, but he didn't want to turn it on. So I was leaning from the back seat and I was turning on and he was turning off and I was turning on and he was turning off and I was turning on. And finally I said, I'm not going in this car. You pull to the side of the road and after you get the windshield clean, then we will go. So then he did. You can see a little bit of my nature, what kind of person I am. So he pulled over and he finally turned on the fan and the windshield was cleared. And the back window was also foggy. So on the back window I saw there were wires for heat. I said, clean the back window also. No, no, he said, it's broken. So this time I didn't believe him. So I got out of the car, I went to the front and I saw the button and I pushed the button and it worked. And then we could drive. So we may think the fog is outside, but the fog is actually inside our heart. And that is why we can't see. So if we're trying to fix things outside, everyone is trying to fix things outside in this world. Let me get a different house, let me get a nice spouse, let me get this, let me get that, let me change this, let me change that. If only I could do this, if only I could do that. Where should I do? Should I do this? Should I do that? But bhakti cleans the windshield inside. Bhakti is like the fan that cleans the window. And then everything else becomes clear. So we make our priority to get our relationship right with Krishna. Then one will become a good person, a pious person. One will get knowledge, one will get detachment, one will get peace, one will get everything. And everything else will come from that. Because Vishnu is the mula, he is the root. As Madhvacharya is quoting here, Vipra Yagna. Nadi Mulam Tu. Harir It Yasuram Mata. Harir Eva Hisarvasya Mulam Samyam Mato Nipa. Vishnu is the root. When the root is good, then the whole tree is good. So we can examine in our lives, where do I think my happiness is going to come from? Where will I get my peace? Where will I get my realization? Am I going to the roots, or am I becoming distracted? So thank you very much. We have time for questions, or? It's a little late. Everything started late this morning. Okay. Yes?
Bhakti is independent, as you said.
Bhakti is independent.
But when that knowledge, realization, there is no jnana, realization about the bhakti. Knowledge, if there is no knowledge, while you practice bhakti,
The kind of knowledge that bhakti is independent of is you don't have to have already realized Brahman in order to practice bhakti. Now, Rupa Goswami says, in order to practice bhakti, all you need is some attraction. And Krishna is all attractive. So all you need, the requirement to start pure bhakti, is a little attraction. Oh, very nice. Nice prasad. Nice kirtan. I like the kirtan. That's sufficient. Now, to actually practice Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti, you need some knowledge of Shastra, because Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti is based on the Shastra. Therefore, the Kanista Madhyam Uttam Adhikari, the qualification for engaging in Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti, because Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti, Vaidhi is coming Vidya, means based on the Shastra. So how can you follow the Shastra if you don't know the Shastra? But we say Jnana Anavratam, we don't mean like that. What we mean by that is someone will say, I cannot think about Krishna until I become purified. That is covering of Jnana. Because the beginning of Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti is to think of Krishna. That the very beginning of Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti is to think of Krishna. However you can, somehow or other, to always remember Krishna. But if someone says, well, I cannot always remember Krishna because I'm not yet purified, then they're thinking bhakti is dependent on Brahman realization. But Jnana, we don't mean that I know what's in the scriptures. That's not what it means. It means another process of purification. But without knowledge of Shastra, performing Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti is very difficult and risky. Possible. It's possible. Because just by chanting Hare Krishna, Jnana Deepena Bhashmata, the knowledge will be revealed in the heart. And Prabhupada says there, let's say, in his purport, in 10 and 10:11. He says, if a devotee is not intelligent enough to make progress on the path of self-realization, this is 10:10. But is sincere and devoted, the Lord gives him a chance to make progress. And also, here we go in 10:11. Prabhupada says, there are many, many learned, very, very learned scholars who have put forward the philosophy of devotion, like Rupa Goswami. But even if a devotee does not take advantage of their literatures or of his spiritual master, if he's sincere in his devotional service, he is helped by Krishna himself within the heart. So even if a devotee is not reading the Shastra, Krishna will help them from in their heart. But that's risky. Because in Vaidhi Bhakti, knowing what to do and what not to do is coming from the Shastra. And if one's not reading the Shastra, one may not even be performing pure bhakti. One may become just deviated. But ultimately, bhakti is not even dependent on that. Very good question. Anybody else? Yes?
You think that without the Shastric knowledge, the devotion can be uttama?
Yes, Prabhupada's saying right there in 10:11. Bhagavad Gita 10:11. But that's risky. It's very risky. Because Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti, as we said, is what the meaning of Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti is, your impetus and your direction for your sadhana is coming from Shastra. So if you don't know the Shastra, how will you know what to do? The Shastra is your guidebook. So therefore, Rupa Goswami says one who has the highest qualification for Vaidyasadhana Bhakti is one who knows the Shastra and has faith in the Shastra. Whereas if you don't know the Shastra, you have no faith in the Shastra, your qualification for Vaidyasadhana Bhakti is unsteady. So therefore, we are pushing and pushing. We study these books, study these books, study these books, study these books. Otherwise, you may become deviated. But bhakti is not dependent on that. As Prabhupada's saying, you know, if you just simply have some, if you do some sincere service for Krishna and think about Krishna, the essence is to think about Krishna, then Krishna will help you from within your heart. But obviously, if we're sincere, we should try to take advantage of the Shastra. Oh, I am very sincere, but I'm not going to read the Shastra. So we will question one's sincerity. But it is possible. We're not, it's not impossible.
One more point you said that about the Varnashrama Dharma. Is that referring the Dharmasya cha Parayanam?
The Dvija.
Now what Dharmasya?
And Dharmasya, yes.
Cha Parayanam?
Yes.
Referring to the Varnashrama Dharma?
Yes. And Prabhupada is saying here also, this will be in the next verse, text 12. Hirani Kashyapu specifically says Varnashrama. He uses the word Varnashrama. So you have to remember, we're reading just one verse at a time. But he's saying the whole thing together. So when you look to understand the meaning of one verse, you have to look at the context, what he's saying. So the indication of dvija and dharma, two times the dharma is here. So yes, he's talking about the varna. He's talking about materialistic dharma. Hiranyakashipu is a materialist. He's not talking about bhakti. He wants to destroy materialistic dharma so that he can be the lord of everything. Although he attained his position through the materialistic dharma process, he wants to make sure no one else can do so. Anybody else? Thank you, all glories to Srila Prabhupada.